But anyway, I've got some things that are really, really big on the inside of me, that are strong in my spirit, that I believe the Lord is going to encourage us in today and lift us up, and some things that I believe He wants to say to us. Do you bring your Bible?
Yes.
Amen. Let's make this confession today. Can we do this? I used to make this confession a long, long time ago. Then we kind of stopped a few years ago, and I pulled it out last Wednesday night, and it just kind of seems fitting. Let's do this, can we?
Yes.
Say this with me. This is my Bible.
This is
God's unchanging word.
My handbook for winning in life.
This is my Bible.
My
instructions for living by faith.
This is the word of truth,
which is forever settled in my life.
This is the wisdom of God.
The answer for every problem I face.
This is the book of love,
which casts out all fear from my life.
This is God's voice speaking to me.
Words that are spirit.
Words that are life.
And I now make the decision
to receive this word in my heart,
producing faith,
producing life,
producing victory.
In every area.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So be it.
So be it.
You know,
the
words that we speak are so very important.
And
there's something about when you begin to just make a confession of faith such as that, that it just kind of opens up your heart and opens up your mind and lays the groundwork in order for you to receive.
Yes.
To hear from heaven.
Amen.
Now turn with me to John chapter 10. Every since the beginning of the year, we've been in a series that have entitled Life in the Spirit. And I really don't know if there's going to be an end to this series. We'll just find out. We're already 6 months into it. I guess 7 months now, right? But it seems like the more that you begin to delve into it, the bigger and bigger it gets. Amen. And let's read our foundational text here in John chapter 10, verse 10. This is a verse that everybody should know. John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." So why did Jesus come? To give us life. Amen. Amen. He came to give us life. And in the process of receiving this life, because you see, man was spiritually dead and lost and hopeless and helpless without God. Dead, right? Yeah. Death means to be separated from God. So then Jesus came and He brought us back together. He brought life back to us. Amen. He connected us once again with home. He connected us once again with the Father. And in the process of that, the divine life of God flooded through our spirits, didn't it? Amen. It was like a tidal wave of the life of God that flooded through our spirits, and it washed out all the darkness. Washed out all of the sin. Amen. Amen. And everything that came into this planet along with sin. Amen. The hopes. And the ability to exercise our faith and to be free from sickness and disease or lack in any area. Oh, thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Life. Life is always more powerful than death. Death is never more powerful than life. Because life always wins. It's not over when they throw that scoop of dirt over you. Amen. Oh, it's far from over. Because there's going to come a day. Amen. Well, the scripture tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you're not in a bad spot anyway.
Amen.
That's just a physical shell that's there. But there's going to come a day then even that, you know, those that have died in Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
The life of God will begin to then flood then into the physical part of man. And that man will become glorified and we're going to be reunited together. Amen. Just like Jesus. Amen. Everything that He's got, we're going to get. That's just a foreshadow of things that are to come.
Amen.
Oh, that's exciting to me. So, long story short, and I always like to put it this way, we always win. Yes. Amen. We always win. We never lose. It's a win-win situation. Amen. So let's look over at another verse of Scripture. Let's look here. Let me see here. Where do we want to go first? Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and it says here, this is in verse 18, these are, my Bible is in red, that means it's Jesus, right? He spoke these words. He said here, yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Amen? Amen? So then Jesus, he came and he gave us authority, didn't he? Over all the power of the enemy, which includes death. Amen. The snakes and the scorpions, yes, you know, we step on them and, you know, chop their heads off. We don't have snakes here. But as much as we can, you know, because, you know, we don't like stuff like that. But he's referring to all of the things that are arrayed against us, so to speak, in the realm of the spirit, such as Satan and all his cohorts, all the devils and demons and things like that. He has given us authority over that. Yes. Amen. There wasn't a devil in hell big enough to stop you from getting born again. Amen. Amen. Not a devil in hell big enough. And that, you got to remember this. It all started. You getting born again. Yes, you saw the light. Yes, the Holy Spirit convicted your heart. Absolutely. Yes, you repented of sin. Absolutely. But what was that? It all started with a choice, didn't it? A decision. Amen. A decision. Now, let's look over at Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Matthew 28. And let's read verse 18. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given. How much authority? All authority. Well, that means all of it, right? We don't have to get deep on that. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Notice that. Amen. Therefore, he says in verse 19, go. In other words, he's given us that authority, right? He is authorizing us. Go, what did he say? And make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Amen. So the same authority that Jesus had, he then gave to you and I as believers. Amen. He delegated his authority to us over all the power, over all the authority of the enemy. Now, the value of our authority, it rests on the power that is behind that authority. The value of our authority rests upon the power that is behind that authority. God himself is the power behind our authority, right? The devil and his forces and everything that, you know, all of his tools and everything that he does here in the earth, they are obliged to recognize the believer's spiritual authority in the earth. Amen. Amen. We got to realize this, that the depth and the scope and of the power that backs up our spiritual authority. When we begin to understand thoroughly the power of God that backs us up, we can exercise that spiritual authority and we can face the devil head on and all of his works fearlessly. Amen. And put him in his place, which is exactly where? Under your feet. Under your feet. Amen. What is authority? You can write this down if you're taking notes, and hopefully you are. Authority. Authority came in when, you know, when the life of God came in, right? Jesus didn't walk up and just say, okay, now I'm going to give you a badge, and here's your authority. If you pull this badge out, and then you can, you know, right? Right? We've learned that and discovered that in this series. But the authority came with life, right? Being born again, being connected with God. So what is authority? Authority is delegated power. Authority is delegated power. It's not your own power. Amen? It's not your own authority, so to speak, because if it was, then this power, it wouldn't have to be delegated to you. But you see, it was delegated. So authority is delegated power. Amen. God's very own power being delegated to you. I think I've used this example recently, but it's just so fresh in my heart. I'm going to use it again this morning. You know what? When I was on the Big Island just two or three weeks ago, whenever it was, I told you we were on our way to church. And they were running the Kona Marathon, right? And we were doing our best to try to get down some streets and get to the church, and they had all these roads blocked off. And so we turned down this one street along with a bunch of other cars, just kind of following the crowd here, trying to get there. And so we get down this street, and here's this cute little, sweet little lady dressed up, you know, just all cute and sweet, but just a little old lady. But she had on this bright orange vest, and she's standing there in the middle of the road. I mean, there weren't any cones, there weren't anything else out there, but just this little lady. And all she did was step out there, and she held up her hands like this, began to wave them, and stopped all the cars that were coming down the road and pointed them in another direction. Wow. I was looking at this little lady. It's like, wow, she's really cute, but wow. She's just standing out there all by her lonesome doing this. But there was authority that had been delegated to her by the Kona Police Department. Whatever they're called there. Amen. That every car on that road had to obey the sweet little old lady, because if they didn't, they were going to have to answer to something else. Amen. Well, it's the same way with us. I'm not a sweet little cute little old lady. Amen. Praise God for that. You might be. I don't know. Praise God for that too. But there is authority that has been delegated to us. There is power. Amen. Authority is delegated power. Our spiritual authority. And you do have spiritual authority. Amen. We didn't have the natural authority. That little lady didn't have the natural authority to stop all of those cars. So, you know, the cars are bigger than she is. But she had authority there. Amen. We have spiritual authority. Authority. We have authority in the realm of the Spirit that we must have a revelation of, that we must operate in. It's not our own authority, but it is the authority of God. It's not our own power, but it is the power of God. We have been authorized by Jesus. Amen. And when we exercise our authority over Satan and all of his demons and all of his works, the power of God backs you up. When you say, Satan, I command you to take your hands off of this, he better take his hands off, because the power of God is standing right there behind you to see to it that what you said comes to pass. Amen. 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 Take your hands off my baby. Take your hands off my family. You will not still kill and destroy. Jesus came to give me life. Life is more powerful than death. Disease, you get out of here. In Jesus' name. Amen. So then there's power there to back that up, to see to it that it comes to pass. Amen? The same authority. Now, see, a lot of people have a hard time with this next statement. The same authority and the same power that Jesus walked in while he was on this earth has been delegated to you and I. It's not a different authority. It's not a different power. We just have not had the revelation of it like we should. It's not a lesser authority. It's not a lesser power. It's the self same. Remember when Jesus was here, he did not minister and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and everything that he did. He did not do that as the Son of God. He laid that aside, right? And he ministered here on the earth as the Son of Man. Amen. As a man of God. See, he had a body just like you and I did. Amen. He was born of a virgin. Amen. But he had a body like you and I did. That was his right to be here in the earth. So he laid that aside so that he could come here and come back in the earth. And to bring life back and in the process bring the authority back here that we needed in order to escape and come out of darkness and death and sin. Oh, that's so awesome, isn't it? Amen. You know, when I talk about spiritual authority, sometimes we can begin to think about some of these things. And, you know, I've seen Christians and different ones, you know, we get all spooky about it. And we talk about having authority over the devil. And it is true, we do have authority over the devil, just like, you know, what I've said. But we don't understand exactly how we employ spiritual authority on a daily basis. Every single day of your life, you are walking in authority. Whether you exercise it for good and for the things of God, or whether you are exercising the authority for something else. But it's still there. It's still there. Are you here? So you were created, that's what Genesis tells us, in the very image of God. And in the process of the Father creating you and I, he created you completely different than the rest of creation, even from the angels. Amen. He created you with the authority of choice. Amen. He created you with the authority to make decisions. When that's exactly what happened in the garden. They made a decision. They made a choice. It wasn't a right choice, but they were authorized to make that decision. And in the process of making that decision, we all know what happened. Sin came into the earth, right? The curse came into the earth, flooded this place from pole to pole and all the way around the equator. Amen. From a decision. He created man with the ability to make choices and to make decisions. And with those choices and decisions, you are exercising authority every single day of your life. Amen. We need to open up our eyes to that and recognize that fact. So very, very, very important. Amen. So the Lord then has given us spiritual authority. And this spiritual authority that has been given to us and very often overlooked in regards to spiritual authority is choice. The Lord has given each person alive on this planet the authority of choice, the ability to make decisions. The trouble comes in when we fail to make the right decisions or the right choices, even when we know the right one. See, Adam and Eve, they knew the right one, but they still made the wrong one. How many of you, be honest, all right, because you're in church, right? How many of you, you knew the right decision, maybe a certain situation or circumstance, but yet you made the wrong one in the face of it. Anybody here? Oh, that's everybody. But you had the authority to choose wrong. Amen. Oh, thank God for his grace and for his mercy. Amen. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to read you something here. It's so good. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Oh, you're going to be glad you came today. I'm glad I came already. Always so glad. Amen. I heard that. Me too. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Of course, I'm ministering from the New Living today. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Look at this. It says, today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Notice that. Amen. But then he goes on to say this, now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Wow, that's heavy. Amen. To witness the choice you make. Oh, he says, oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. Wow. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But notice here, the gist of what he was saying here was that he has given us the ability to choose. And not only that, every time you make a choice, heaven witnesses it. Earth witnesses your decision. And heaven has to respect and honor your choice, whether it be good or bad. Amen. And so does do things here in the earth. It matters what you choose. It does. I don't know about you. I want to choose right. You know, the older I get, you know, I'm 45 now. I'm so over. I'm not saying I'm never, ever going to mess up again. I pray that I don't. But I never want to make a wrong choice again. It's so much easier when we make right choices, even if we make right choices when it's not convenient. And usually that is the time when we don't make the right choice. Because it's not always a convenient time, because sometimes it seems like it would be easier to make the other choice. Amen. Because we're always looking for a quicker way out. We're always looking for a way of escape to try to keep the pressure off. But in the process, we end up bringing more pressure on ourselves. Amen. Sometimes the easiest way out of the fire, the hardships and the tests and the trials and things that happen, the easiest way out is to simply remain there, making right choices, right decisions in the process, because pretty soon, comfort's coming. You will come out because what? We always win. Amen? Instead of throwing more gas or adding more fuel to the fire, by making wrong choices and decisions and simply ignoring things and pushing things out of the way, we just need to, for lack of a better term here, man up or Christian up. Amen. Character up. If you weren't here last Wednesday, you need to download that message. We talked about character. So good. So good. Amen. And make a right decision in the process. Amen. When we make wrong choices, very often we are filled with regret later, aren't we? And this is just like the devil when you begin to think about it. He pressures people through the circumstances and things that we face physically and naturally. He'll pressure you to make wrong decisions. Then when you make a wrong decision, he'll hang you out to dry and leave you swinging in the wind and will condemn you with regret. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have acted that way. I shouldn't have said that. Oh, but it felt good at the time. Yeah, oh, yeah, it did, because the enemy was pressuring you. Amen. But then, pretty soon, there you are, left hanging there in the wind. Then the regret hits you full on in the face. It's a double whammy. Then the devil hits you again, and he begins to condemn you and beat you down. Amen. If we're truly honest with ourselves, truly, Each of us have had regrets in our lives. Everybody here. Amen. I know you ask, you know, you see these interviews and you read books and, you know, especially celebrities and different ones. Well, do you have any regrets? No, I don't have any regrets. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. If you were truly honest with yourself, each and every one of us do have some regrets. Amen? Amen. Regrets come when we make wrong choices and wrong decisions. Regret means this. It means to feel sorry. It means to be disappointed. Amen. To feel sorry, to be disappointed, to feel grief, to mourn. Regret means that you have a sense of loss and longing for something or someone who is now gone, but maybe not even necessarily dead. Amen. Here's a few examples of things that people regret. You could probably figure out a few of these on your own through your own life's experiences. But here's a few things. Number one, things that have been said or done that's too late to change. See, once you speak a word, once you say something, that word is out there. Whether it be good or bad. And there's going to be consequences, good or bad, of those words that you speak. Amen. The second thing, things not said or done that should have been said when the opportunity was there. How many of you ever regretted that? Oh, I should have said that. Amen. Thirdly, here's something else. Not saving enough money. Right? Not eating or exercising properly. Not having enough education. Here's one. Not spending enough time with your children or your loved ones when they were young. And now your relationship with them when they're older seems a little bit different. And parents oftentimes are filled with regret because they worked too much and didn't have the time or didn't take the time. Or they were busy out drinking, doing other things, hanging out with their friends. That's a regret. Amen. Thank God for His grace and mercy to help us through these times. Because regret can be a killer. Amen. If you sit around and you just meditate on all of these things and wrong choices and decisions, oh, the depression that would set in. Amen. That's not good. It's not God, is it? Amen. Here's something else, another example of things that people regret. Not loving deeper and extending forgiveness to family and friends. Not loving deeper and extending forgiveness to family and friends. I don't know about you, but I wanna love deep. Amen. See, forgiveness is never, ever an excuse or an excusing the sin of somebody else or maybe something terrible that happened to you. You're not excusing what they did. Forgiveness enables you to live free of that. Yeah, right. Amen. Amen. And to love anyway. Walk in love anyway. Amen. Amen. Just like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Many people, they live a life of regret their whole life. Oh, that's such a terrible and a miserable way to live. They regret making the wrong choices even though they knew the right choice to make. Amen. Wrong choices, don't ever forget this. Wrong choices can and will alter the course of your destiny. Now that's heavy. Amen. Wrong choices, they can and they will alter the course of your destiny or the plan of God for your life or the call of God upon your life. Amen. You see, we are each called. And see, the calling of God is not reserved on somebody that stands behind the pulpit. Everybody has a part to play. Everybody has a role to play here in this planet. You are called of God. And the choices and decisions that you make will either propel you forward in the call of God. Are you here? Yes. Or it will divert you from fulfilling the call of God. Amen. Amen. I remember one of the visions and visitations that Brother Hagin had with the Lord. And the Lord was talking to him about this. He said, that Jesus told him personally. This is an open vision where he came and sat down beside his bed and talked to him. That many of these people, how they lived and died and never, ever entered into the very first phase of the ministry that he had for them. Wow. That means wrong choices and decisions altered that. Amen. Amen. You know, we can choose how our story reads. Maybe your story didn't start off very good. Maybe it was kind of depressing. But we can write a happy ending in the process. Amen. You know, the Bible is full of examples of people making right and wrong choices and reaping the harvest of their respective choices. And, you know, God is always gracious and God is always merciful to forgive his people and give his people ample opportunity to turn and repent of their wrong ways and to make a wrong right. Amen. But many times people don't make that turn and repent because pride will hinder them from making a right choice or righting a wrong. Amen. Let's look at a wonderful example here. And actually, there's a couple examples here in this. In 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'm going to read the whole chapter here. So you're going to feel like you've been at church and you've read your Bible today. 2 Kings chapter 5, let's pick it up here in verse 1. We all know the story here, but I'm going to read through it really quick. It says, the king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy, it says. He was a mighty warrior, right? A commander. But he suffered from leprosy. And so here, it says, verse 2, at this time, Armenian raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. Go and visit the prophet, the king of Aram told him. I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver. That's a lot of weight, right? 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold. He was packing. You know, I got curious this morning. I mean, I punched it in. I got the price of gold for last Friday, which was $1,319 an ounce. And so I figured up 150 pounds. That was $3,165,600. That was just in the gold, according to today's standards. Wow. He had some money going on here, didn't he? Yeah. Amen. And then it says, in 10 sets of clothing. I bet they didn't come from the ABC store. Moving right along here. Nothing against the ABC store. I give them lots of business. Groceries. Verse 6. The letter to the king of Israel said, with this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, this man sends me a letter to heal. Well, first of all, the girl didn't say, go see the king and get healed. She said, go see the prophet, right? This man sends me a leper to heal. Am I God that I can give life and take it away? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me. Well, he wasn't trying to pick a fight, but, you know, this is kind of how it was perceived here, right? But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. But Naaman, it says, became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me, he said. I expected him. Notice that. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the what? Pharpar? Better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why should I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went away in rage. Wow. His healing was right here before him. Amen. All because he had a wrong expectation. It's important that we be expectant. Amen. But our hope and our expectation, it should be in him. Should be in the Lord. We need to be careful when we begin to put unrealistic expectations in people. Because sometimes the expectations will fail you. And when you have an unrealistic expectation or things don't happen the way that you expect them to happen from somebody else, then what happens? You have a choice right then and there at that moment. Authority is released right then and there in that moment, right? Amen. Of whether to be offended or hurt. See, offense comes from wrong expectations. Did you hear what I said? We get offended with things in life or things happen to us all because we had a different expectation on how somebody would have treated us, somebody would have spoken to us, or something that somebody would have or should have done for you. And even though maybe there was nothing necessarily wrong with your expectation, expecting somebody to love you, expecting somebody to treat you properly, but if your expectation is in people, you're going to lose your focus. And you're going to be easily diverted from your destiny. Because offense will come in. Are you here? And cause you to miss out on fulfilling the full plan of God. But this man was angry, wasn't he? He was angry. But it says in verse 13, but his officers tried to reason with him. Oh, thank God. Amen. His officers, those that were there with him. You know, it's good to have friends that will reason with you and try to bring you back on track. Not friends that will add more fuel to the fire and said, oh, yeah, you know, I can't believe they treated you that way. I can't believe they said that about you. Well, you know what? You should do this. You should say this. You should act this way. You should show them. How many of you realize that's not necessarily a good friend? Amen. Now, we like it at the moment because it makes us feel good. Amen. But remember, even though you know what's right, even though a wrong was maybe necessarily, it was done to you, but the enemy will hang you out there after a while. Even though you make another wrong decision because a wrong was made, but then there's going to come regret later. Amen. I don't want to get old and be bitter. What about you? Amen. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? Sure. So you should simply, certainly obey him when he says, simply go and wash and be cured. See, he was offended. The prophet didn't even come out to see him personally. He just sent somebody to go tell him. Right? So Naaman went down to the Jordan River, dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child's, and he was healed. Notice the result. If he hadn't made that adjustment in his course and his thinking, and hadn't changed his expectation, redirected it, amen, he wouldn't have got healed. Then, it says, Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. Oh, they were happy now. They stood before him. He wasn't angry anymore. They stood before him, and Naaman said, now that I know there is no God in the world except in Israel, so please accept a gift from your servant. But Elijah replied, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts. In other words, you're not going to pay for this healing. So you can't buy the things of God. Remember how much was there? Just in the gold, over $3 million. And the prophet says, no. How many of you, you pray for somebody, think about this. They get healed and everything's great. Amen. Then they come back and say, I just want to give you $3 million. Wow, bless God, let the Lord lead you. Yeah. But Elisha, he said no. I remember one time, I'll never forget this the longest day that I live. This happened years and years ago. Some disgruntled ones and some different things happened here in the church, and somebody got offended at something and had consequently left. And in the process, you know, they were trying to find another place to go to church and all of this. And then they called me on the phone one day, and even though, you know, being offended, but called me on the phone and said, we have our tithe. Can I still give you our tithe? And I was about to, you know, to be loving and nice, and, you know, I'm not going to turn away money, right? And it had been a while, so I'm sure the tithe had accumulated. And before I could even say anything, the voice of the Lord thundered on the inside of me, and he said, not every gift is acceptable. Like, wow, you're telling me to turn this down? So I did. I did. Now, I didn't tell them that. I didn't say, the Lord just told me that this isn't acceptable. I didn't say that to them. Amen. I just said, no, thank you. You know, you just, you know, save it and do whatever you need to do with it. That's between you and the Lord. But it's not going to come here. Because, see, there's strings attached. There's wrong expectations that are being put there. Are you here? Amen. Oh, you got to be so careful with things like that. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. So it says here, I will not accept any gifts. And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elisha, he refused. And Naaman said, all right, but please allow me to load my two of my mules with earth from this place. I will take it back home for me and with me. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. However, may the Lord pardon me. And this one thing, when my master, my king, goes into the temple of the god Rimmon to worship there and leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me. When I bow to go in peace, Elisha said, so Naaman started home again. Now, verse 20. It says, but Gehazi, see, this was the prophet's servant, right? But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, my master should not have let this Arminian get away without accepting any of his gifts. I mean, it's $3 million. You just let $3 million walk through the door. Not only that, we had some clothes, right? As surely as the Lord lives, I will chase after him and get something from him. So Gehazi set off after Naaman. When Naaman saw Gehazi running after him, he climbed down from his chariot and went to meet him. Is everything all right? Naaman asked. Yes, Gehazi said. But my master has sent me to tell you that two young prophets from the hill country of Ephraim have just arrived. He would like 75 pounds of silver and two sets of clothing to give to them. So he started lying. Elisha didn't say that, did he? By all means, take twice as much silver, Naaman insisted. He gave him two sets of clothing, tied up the money in two bags, and sent two of his servants to carry the gifts for Gehazi. But when they arrived at the citadel, Gehazi took the gifts from the servants and sent them in back. Then he went and hid the gifts inside the house. When he went in to his master, Elisha asked him, where have you been? Then he says, I hadn't been anywhere, he replied. Oh, getting in trouble. Wrong choices. But Elisha asked him, don't you realize that I was there in spirit when Naaman stepped down from his chariot to meet you? See, he knew because of the office that he stood in. He knew what his servant had done. He knew his servant had lied, right? Is this a time to receive money and clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and cattle, and male and female servants? Because you have done this, you and your descendants will suffer from Naaman's leprosy forever. when Gehazi left the room, I mean, he didn't even get out of the room. When he left the room, he was covered with leprosy. His skin was white as snow. Now, we see a man who needed healing, who was tempted to make the wrong decision, right? Because of pride. Then he finally was able to pull it together and got healed. Then we see another man who was actually with the prophet of God, his servant, who of all people should have known better, right? But made a wrong decision, made a wrong choice, and in the process of it, suffered greatly. Amen? Gehazi, he let the love of money change his destiny. Wow, it's heavy, isn't it? Remember what, you know, 1 Timothy 6:10 says, that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's neither good nor bad, but your attitude towards it. And if the Lord wants you prosperous, he's got no problem with any of these people being rich. But he does have a problem with you being covetous. Are you here? Amen. Jesus also told a rich young man, to give away his possessions, didn't he? Because he was possessed by possessions. But this man wouldn't do it. Jot this down and look at it. I'll read it to you just for the sake of time. We've got to hurry up here. In Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says this. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. Notice that. And he went away sad. For he had many possessions, or the possessions had him, in other words. This man, he passed up an opportunity of a lifetime, I believe. And he made the decision to walk away sad, depressed, deeply grieved. Amen. I wonder how many people's lives today are miserable because they've chosen to follow after money instead of godly wisdom. You know, money is a hard taskmaster. I got no problem with money. I'm blessed, amen. I believe that you're blessed too. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. You know, money doesn't make you rich, but the blessing does. But if you follow after money, it can be a very hard taskmaster. Amen. It matters what we choose in this life, even financially. The choices that you make, they matter. The choices that you're going to make today, they matter. Amen. We have to exercise the spiritual authority that we've got today so that when we reach the end of our natural life or our time here on this earth, that we don't look back with regret. With all the woulda, shoulda, couldas. With one simple choice, we can and will alter the course of our destiny. It doesn't have to be a bad course. But when we make right decisions, oh, my goodness. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 5. I want you to see this very, very quickly. Romans 5, verse 19. I'm going to do my best to stick close to my notes so we can get through this. It says this, because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Look at the consequences of one person making a wrong choice. You and I ended up being born into sin. We did not have a choice. If I could have picked, I would not have picked to be spiritually dead and separated from God, in need of a Savior, because I was already saved, if I had a choice. But we didn't have a choice. Why did we not have a choice? Because one man chose for us. And it altered the course of things, didn't it? Amen. But then it says, but because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Now, Jesus came and he gave this ability back to us that we can choose. You can choose to stay lost in sin. You can choose to remain in spiritual death, totally separated from God. Or you can choose to receive forgiveness of your sin through my blood and everything I did for you on the cross. and exercise that authority that I'm giving back to you now to make a choice and to come back to God. Be made alive. Experience life once again and enjoy life once again. Amen. Wow. Amen. You know, I'm only 45, but, you know, I shiver to think about it. That if I hadn't made the choice years ago to follow after God, what if I'd never made the choice? Think about this. If I had never made the choice to get saved and born again, if I'd never made the choice to move with some of my family, my aunt and uncle, to Fort Myers, Florida, if I didn't make the choice to go to church that night, if I just chose to stay home, I may not be here today. If I caved into fear and didn't give in to fear and refused to answer the altar call and go up and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, wow, where would I be today? Then if I refused, you know, to obey the call of God and what the Lord had instructed me and given me, you know, direction to do and to go to Rhema. Wow. What if I'd have never gone to Rhema? What if I just got saved? Yeah, I got saved, got born again. Everything's great. I'll just be a good Christian. Just go to church. But what if I'd never obeyed God? What if I decided not to go to Rhema? Then I wouldn't have met Robin. We wouldn't have never met. Our paths would have never have crossed. My destiny would have been changed. I'm thankful that I did. I'm glad she's not ugly too. But what if even after that, what if that morning, well, actually I believe it was afternoon, I was in the shower. Doing what you do in the shower, minding my own business. And the voice of the Lord came to me and shook me in my skin and said, I want you to move to Maui and I'll begin your ministry there. And what if I had not obeyed that? I wouldn't be here. What if all of the times through the past almost 20 years that I had caved into pressure even being here. And the call and the cry of loved ones and different ones on the mainland and different things there. And financially looking at things here and looking at things there. But what if? We choose to cave in. And look for an easier way out. Then reach the end of my life. Wow, I wish I would have stayed with God. Wow, I wish I would have continued to serve God. Wow, I wish I would have continued to do what the Lord called me to do in Maui and the South Pacific and near the places in the Pacific Rim. I wish I would have just stuck with it. I could have reached more people. There could be more people in heaven today if I'd have just stuck with it. There could be more marriages that didn't fall apart if I'd have just stuck with it. More people even healed and joined health on there if I just stuck with it. Then I wouldn't have written some of the books that have been in multitudes of villages around the South Pacific, people getting healed and testimonies that come in. Then that wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have happened. One choice. One decision. Spiritual authority. Now, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. This is not about me. All of us have the ability here because you have just as bright of a course and bright of a destiny as anybody else does. Amen. Are you here today? It's sobering, isn't it? It's sobering. Amen. Oh, wow. The Lord has given us the authority of choice. And when you make a certain decision, there you will find the power or the consequence of that decision, either good or bad. must learn the importance of making right choices by listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If your family, your marriage is in trouble, make sure you make the right choice. Amen. Every relationship, now hear me, every relationship or the lack thereof is the result of choice. And choices that you make in that relationship, concerning that relationship. Hello. Amen. Sometimes due to the wrong choices and decisions of others, you must sometimes make the choice to not be linked together in an unhealthy relationship that does have the potential of ruining your life and altering the destiny that God has for you. Each of us, we must have the character and we must have the integrity to stand firm in the truth that we know. Amen. And not be swayed by the opinions and the choices of others to try to drag you down and pull you off course. Because your destiny depends on it. Your life story is directly connected to the choices and decisions that you make this very day. Amen. The Lord is always gracious to help us and to provide, amen, provide a way for us to experience better days. But the fact is that many of these consequences from wrong choices, I know it sounds kind of heavy, but they'll be with us for the rest of our lives in one form or another. But the Lord is always gracious and He's merciful to us. Oh my gosh. Even in spite of that. Oh, thank God, thank God. Amen? Amen. To provide a way for us to experience better days. Amen. Thank God for better days. You know, far too many people decide to give up on their children. Don't ever give up on your children. Too many people, we decide to give up on marriages. Too many people, we decide that it's always the other person's fault. And they're the reason for this. And refuse to look at ourselves. Too many people, they decide that they aren't going to be the first to change. I'm not going to change unless they change first. That's a decision too. That doesn't make it right. Amen. These are all decisions that alter destinies. Amen. Amen. Well, what can you do if you've made some wrong choices in the past? Let me give you a few things. We'll wind up with this. What can you do? Number one is stop feeling sorry for yourself and begin making right choices today. Doesn't mean it's the end. It doesn't mean it's over. But stop feeling sorry for yourself and begin making the right choices today. And number two, take the responsibility for your wrong choices. And stop living in the deception of all the excuses that you've been giving. When you start to take responsibility for wrong choices, then you begin to take steps out of the consequences of those decisions and begin to truly live. We live in a generation today. Nobody wants to take responsibility for their choices and decisions. We always want to blame it on somebody else. Well, I did that because they did this, and I responded this way because they said that. Wow. Thirdly, stop blaming others for your quality of life. That's a big one. Stop blaming others for your quality of life. I know a pastor friend that made a wrong decision because a family member, his daughter actually ended up getting pregnant in a thriving church, several hundred people going to his church. Church was doing wonderful, doing great, but made a wrong decision because he felt shamed because his daughter got pregnant. And so he resigned his church and turned his church over to somebody else. And all these years later, there's never a day that goes by. I haven't talked to him in a few years, but all the years that I've known him, where something it's always come up. I wish I had never done that. That used to be my church. I started that church. And the church continued to grow and, you know, expand and get big and, you know, still a successful church today. But wow, the life of regret that's there. Then blame others. That ain't good, is it? Fourth thing you can do, something in your past may be the reason why things are the way that they are today, but don't allow them to become an excuse or to hinder you from a brighter tomorrow. There are some things you can't change in your past, but you can choose through your spiritual authority and the power of choice to have a brighter and better tomorrow. This is life in the Spirit. This is real life. I know this is a very pastorish message today, but this is good. I'm pastor too. Yes. Amen. Amen. Every right choice you make today changes the results or harvest of a wrong decision that you made yesterday. That's powerful, isn't it? Every right choice you make today changes the harvest or the consequence of a wrong decision that you made in the past, yesterday. So there's always hope. Amen. I say this a lot because it's so very true. Jesus, He is the master at redemption. He is the great redeemer of your life. Amen. Yes. And He can take a life full of regrets and mess, and He can turn it around. So that when we do leave this place, even though maybe there have been some things that we've done in our past, we have a confidence now, knowing that they are under the blood of Jesus. I have been forgiven. And I have forgiven myself. And I can now stand before the throne of the universe without feeling any sense of guilt. Because I am completely and totally free. That is spiritual authority. The power to get free. Amen. Oh, thank God. Let's pray today. If you're here today, maybe there's been some things that you've regretted in your past. Maybe some wrong choices, wrong decisions. Maybe some things that have kind of plagued you for years and years and years. Today is the day that you choose to walk out of that and to walk free from it. The consequences of it. And set your faith, and set your course, set your destiny for a brighter and better and easier tomorrow. If that's you or anybody in here today, slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. Slip your hand up. Amen. Anybody else? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Anybody else? 8, 9. Father, you see these hands today. I pray for each and every heart, each and every life. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your forgiveness. Father, from this moment forward, I thank you for the choice, for the decision that these hearts make to be free. And Father, I ask you now to fill them, to fill their hearts, to fill them, Lord, with this assurance, with your love, your unconditional love, and your acceptance. Be free today. In the name of Jesus, walk in your freedom, walk in newness of life, and enjoy all that's been provided for you in and through Christ. Amen. Amen. That's powerful. I believe destinies were altered today. Amen.